We will hold an infant baptism right after this message. But let's turn to Romans in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. And today I'll be reading from a different version, NRSV, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 17. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Today is a special day in the church calendar. Today is called the Pentecost Sunday. And in the Old Testament times, Pentecost was sort of like Thanksgiving in America. It was held in the month of May or June when there was a harvest of wheat in Israel. But Pentecost is celebrated by Christians for a different reason today. And this was the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers, on all Christians in Jerusalem. When I was in high school, I received a religious magazine in the mail in our house, and it was being handed out for free, and it looked like a Christian magazine, so I read some of the articles in it, and it talked a lot about the end times, and it did really seem like a Christian magazine, so I kept it. But then in another issue, I found some statement that was kind of fishy. And it said, the editor of that magazine said that the Holy Spirit was a force, some kind of energy in the universe that we can tap into. And so I asked my dad, you know, my dad is a retired Presbyterian pastor. And I was like, Dad, this magazine said that Holy Spirit is a force. But I thought we learned in Sunday school that the Holy Spirit is a person with will and intellect and emotions. And my dad, he took a look and he said, well, that sounds like the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I looked for clues to where the magazine was published, and sure enough, it says in the back, in a tiny letter, Watchtower Society. And that is the official name for Jehovah's Witnesses. And I realized that, you know, that's their teaching. They believe that the Holy Spirit is some sort of a force. And I think that may be a popular notion of what Holy Spirit is today among many people. Maybe movies like the Star Wars have sort of popularized that notion. You know, it says, like, may the force be with you. You know, that guy, Yoda, taps into the force that's present in the spirit, I mean, in the universe, right? And also, our Christian expression doesn't help either. We say a lot, no, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as if and we're filled with water, or as if we're filled with the force, with some kind of a spirit. But the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit, although it sounds like a force or some kind of energy, is actually a third person of the Trinity. When Christians say that we are filled with the Spirit, we mean that we are being controlled, we are being directed, we are being empowered by the person of the Holy Spirit. It means that I don't do what I really want to do, whatever I want to do. It means that I do what the Holy Spirit leads me to do. When we believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that is when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us. God comes to live in me. And that's the truth. And that is a great privilege. Because in the Old Testament times, the people of God who did great things for God, they only experienced the Holy Spirit for a short amount of time. They were filled with the Spirit. They were controlled by the Spirit in order to accomplish a task that was given by God. So if a task was given for Gideon to defeat the Midianites, he received the Holy Spirit only until when that task was accomplished. So when all the Midianites were defeated, then the Holy Spirit departed from Gideon, and he was back to himself. But when on the day of Pentecost, what happened was that, as God promised that the Holy Spirit will come to dwell on all the believers. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us for good, forever. So our bodies become a habitat or a temple where God's Spirit dwells. So what does the Holy Spirit do inside us? There are many, many things that the Holy Spirit does. But today's passage talks about two things that the Holy Spirit does. And the first is that the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. But if Christ is in you, it says, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. So when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, the Spirit gives us the life of God. It gives us the life of Jesus, which is eternal, which is the true life. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of life, and that's what the Bible says. As soon as the Holy Spirit comes to us, there begins a war against our sinful nature, against the dark forces that bring us to death. The Holy Spirit enables us to fight and put to death the misdeeds of the body, of our flesh. If the Holy Spirit is not in us, we don't even feel that struggle. We don't even struggle against sin. We just go along with our sinful nature. And we even approve those who are much more evil or sinful than we are. But when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we begin to fight against sin. We begin to fight against our fleshly desires. And when the Holy Spirit is in us, the Spirit convicts us of our sins. We begin to be sensitive to our offenses against God and against our neighbors. And we gain a new desire, a holy desire, to not to continue in our sinful habits and sinful lives. And the Holy Spirit will continue to make us deal with sins in our life, because they will eventually kill us. Sin is like cancer. If we do not deal with it, and if we do not kill the cancer will kill us. If we do not kill our sins, then our sins eventually will kill us. Ephesians 4 says that we are to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to fight the spiritual battles against evil forces. But the sword of the Spirit is not only used against the enemies, but it can also be used to cut off the cancerous sins in our life. In our inner battle against our own sins, our own resolution counts. We have to make a strong resolution to fight and to not continue in our sins. And I think all of us, maybe most of us, have experienced this. We go to a retreat, we go to this great Christian conference, and we hear this inspiring, very moving, awesome message, and we are truly fired up, inspired to live a holy life as a Christian. And we do so for maybe a month, maybe 2 months, possibly up to 3 months. We are just on fire for God, living holy life every day. And then what happens after 3 months? We fall back to our old ways of life, right? I think all of us have experienced that. Then what is the solution to that kind of backsliding that happens to us? How do we continue to live a victorious life against our sinful nature and against the spiritual enemies, which are real? The answer is that you renew your resolutions, that you renew your resolves frequently, frequently. If you fall back, you decided, you made a strong resolution to obey God, but then after 3 days, you fall back. Then you make another resolution. Lord, I'm going to serve you with all my heart at least for another 3 days. If you fail after 3 days, then make another resolution. And you keep continuing. And of course, the Holy Spirit helps to keep your resolution. But you know what? I found out, I think this is true for many Christians, that our own resolutions do not even last 2 days. Maybe possibly throughout the day, maybe one day. I think that's why we need to go to God in the morning, and in our QTs or in our prayer times, we make a resolution. Lord, at least for today, at least for today, use me. Let me fight and win against my sinful nature. Let me fight and win and against the spiritual forces, dark forces. Let me live today according to your will. So I think it's very important for us to go to God in the morning every day and to give our bodies as living sacrifice. Lord, I give my body to you. Use me and be glorified, be honored in what I say and what I do. Empower me not to sin against you today. And Spirit, please take control of my thoughts and of my speech and of my actions today. Help me to live a victorious life today. So we are entrusting ourselves to God each day. And I think that is the key to our Christian living. We give our bodies, we dedicate ourselves to God every day so that we can live at least that one day totally for Jesus, totally for God. So our resolution does count. We do have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, but we do have to make our own effort. We have to make a strong resolution to keep God's command and to not continue in our sins. A Puritan pastor named Stephen Charnock, he commented, frequently renew holy resolutions. A soldier unresolved to fight may easily be defeated. The weakness of ourselves, the strength of our temptations, the diligence of our enemies, spiritual enemies, require strong resolutions. Secondly, the Holy Spirit adopts us into the family of God. Verse 15 says that we have received the spirit of adoption. That's a funny word, the spirit of adoption. So Jesus is the natural Son of God, and all of us, you and I, are adopted sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power or the authority or the right to become the children of God. And once we become God's children, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit testifies to us continually that we are truly beloved children of God. And it's so easy for us to doubt that. We doubt, does God really love me? Especially when things do not go as we planned, when things do not go as we have wanted, when bad things happen to good people, when bad things happen to Christians. We doubt God's love so easily. Does God really care about me? Does God really love me? And it's in those times that we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is constantly speaking to us. And there's a great hymn that I've come to love more and more these days. And when I was young, I thought this was sort of a sissy, you know, hymn. It sounded too flowery and too girly. But I love this hymn now. It's, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Wow, what a fellowship. You know, what a deep, intimate relationship this person has with God. That's the kind of relationship that I want with God, with the Father. And I believe that is the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us every day. The Holy Spirit is called to walk beside us. Paraklete in Greek means the one called alongside us. So his job is to walk beside us and to encourage us and to speak to us and teach us God's truth. And the message that he keeps telling us every day is that we belong to God, that we are God's beloved children. When Jesus began his ministry, he heard this voice from heaven, from God the Father. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And this is not just God's message for Jesus. It is God's message for all of us, for all God's children, for all believers. And that's the voice of the Spirit that we need to hear each morning. Yes, I am a beloved son of God. Yes, I am a beloved daughter of God. And God is pleased with me. When we are assured of God's love for us, we will not be defeated. We will live in confidence of God's power. When we are assured of God's love for us, we will not be afraid of anything that comes before us. If God is for us, who can be against us? When we are assured of God's love, we will not live as slaves of sin, but we will live as free sons and daughters of God, grateful for what God has done. So this is truly the good news. The Spirit of living God lives in you. God's Spirit lives in me. You know, in the Old Testament times, God was somebody that people just could not approach. God was holy God, and you know, Israelites, they feared seeing God's face because they knew that a sinner cannot stand before holy God, and God's holiness would destroy sinner. So they were afraid to see God's face. And when God's presence came down on the holy mountain, Mount Sinai, people were afraid to go near to the mountain because God was so holy and awesome. They feared God. So they could not approach God. And even the high priest could not enter into God's presence. He could only do so once a year by offering the blood of a sacrifice. So in the Old Testament times, God was a God beyond us. God was a mysterious God. God was a fearful God. No one dared to call God the Father. But God decided to reveal who He is. God wanted to show us who God was in a sense. And God sent the Son, Jesus Christ. And He revealed Himself in the flesh of His Son. Jesus is the God-man. God became a human being. And when we see Jesus, we know what God is like. And so Jesus, the title for Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this God beyond, this awesome and holy God beyond becomes the God with us. The God who cares for us. The God who loves us. And then, after Jesus goes back to the Father, after Jesus resurrects and ascends to heaven, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, and now the God becomes the God in us. He lives in us. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us forever. And God's law is written in our hearts. Before, in the Old Testament times, God's law was written on a stone. But the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, the law will be written in our hearts, and we would be joyful. We would gladly obey God's commands because it is in our DNA. It is in our hearts. So the God beyond becomes, through the Holy Spirit, God in us. And that's really good news. God comes to dwell in you, to live with you forever, and to guide you, and to give you the inheritance. You know, today's passage talks about the awesome inheritance in Christ. Ultimately, the Spirit will lead you to the promised land, to heaven, to give you rich inheritance in Christ. So let us ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. Let us ask God to take control of our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. And let us make a resolution to not continue in our sins, to give our bodies as living sacrifice. And let us not become once again enslaved to sin, but let us live in freedom as true sons and daughters of God. Let's pray.